Hi there, listeners. It's Farnoosh, and I just want to say I'm really honored that you've chosen to subscribe to So Money. I know there are a lot of podcasts out there. The fact that you're here is not lost on me. Now, if you're enjoying these episodes and you're benefiting from the advice and you want more, I've actually created something really special for us. It's called the So Money Members Club. It's an online platform where you can connect more closely with me and engage with fellow So Money fans who want to become more empowered in their financial lives. The website is SoMoneyMembers.com. And when you go there, you'll learn all the benefits, including exclusive monthly finance workshops, private group calls with me. You get your questions answered in our member community. I'm often in there weighing in, and you get instant access to all of our workshop recordings. We have a robust library that's growing. So far, we've had workshops on investing in real estate, kids and money, and how to earn more in 2024. And most of all, it's fun, positive, encouraging, all the things personal finance should be. Go to SoMoneyMembers.com, and I hope you'll join us. I'm limiting enrollment, and doors will close soon. Check out SoMoneyMembers.com. Did you know that I'm a podcast host and also a mind reader? Because I know that you want to grow your portfolio, to deal with the rising costs of inflation, to pay off your debt or your mortgage. You want to attack pretty much anything standing in the way of you and your financial freedom, right? Well, here's one solution: more knowledge. This podcast helps, I hope. And you can use Yahoo Finance, where you can get access to the news, data, and tools that you need to help reach your definition of financial freedom. For more than 25 years, Yahoo Finance has been the brand behind every great investor. They're the number one finance destination, and I know because I worked there for many years, producing a holistic look at the financial news cycle, including breaking news, original editorial perspectives, analyst ratings, customizable charts, so much more. For comprehensive financial news and analysis, visit the brand behind every great investor, yahoofinance.com. The number one financial destination, yahoofinance.com. That's yahoofinance.com. Hosting the So Money podcast for almost 10 years, I've been learning a lot about how to best serve you outside the show. I've begun to offer pop-up workshops and a So Money members club. And with each new line of business, a lot goes on behind every transaction. Stripe helps simplify and ease payments with Tap to Pay on iPhone, which helps me grow revenue and reach through accepting more in-person contactless payments when I'm out in real life promoting my programs. Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe give me the ability to scale quickly and stay flexible with quick setup and no additional hardware required. And it's not just ideal for me. From local pop-ups to global retailers, Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe help businesses of all sizes accept contactless payments right from an iPhone. Whether your customers want to use their card, Apple Pay, or other digital wallet, now you can accept contactless payments right from an iPhone. To learn how Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe can help grow your revenue and reach, visit stripe.com/tapiphone. So Money, episode 678, Abby Chow, co-founder and COO of College Backer.
You're listening to So Money with award-winning money guru Farnoosh Torabi. Each day, get a 30-minute dose of financial inspiration from the world's top business minds, authors, influencers, and from Farnoosh herself. Looking for ways to save on gas or double your double coupons? Sorry, you're in the wrong place. Seeking profound ways to live a richer, happier life? Welcome to So Money.
Welcome to So Money, everyone. I'm your host, Farnoosh Torabi. Topic today is college savings. Many of you write in asking me, hey, Farnoosh, where should I save for my child's college education? Some of you are very ahead of the curve, asking me about your unborn children and where to save for their college education. And I'm with you. It's very expensive to go to school today, let alone in 18, 20 years. And one vehicle that has been a solution for many families is a 529 plan. But is it really the best option? To learn more about this, we have the COO and co-founder of a brand new financial technology website called College Backer. Abby Chow is here. Prior to launching the company, Abby was a senior associate and social sector fellow at McKinsey & Company, which is a top consulting firm in the world. What's interesting is that only 30% of Americans know what a 529 plan is, and that's where College Backer wants to help. It's a new company that's educating parents around college savings and how to make it easier for them to save for those future costs. And their trick is involving your community of friends and family. At College Backer, you can open a 529 plan and invite your friends and family and others to contribute. Not a bad idea. It's something that I actually do in my own life. Whenever anyone asks what to get the kids, I say money. And here's my direct deposit account. And that money goes right into their 529s. Yeah, Abby and I discussed the pros and cons of starting an account like this. It's not a given that a 529 plan is the best way to save and that it's the best way for all families. I mean, what if you save diligently into this account and your child doesn't go to college or perhaps gets a college scholarship, a full scholarship? What happens to the money then? And I was pretty surprised by some of the answers. There are also some potential legislative changes to the 529 this year that may or may not expand its impact. We talk about all of this, as well as Abby's own impressive career resume. She talks about how her So Money moment was when she was working. She convinced her bosses to give her a promotion and a raise and reimbursements for graduate school all at the same time. And stay tuned because we're going to mention a site where you can get a free gift from College Backer, free money, a match. Stay tuned for that sign up information. Here's Abby Chow. Abby Chow, welcome to So Money. Excited to learn how to catch up and save more for my kids' college. Welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me, Farnoosh. So excited to be here today.
Yeah, it's so great. And I'm so happy that you have started what you've started, you know, as a co-founder of College Backer. We're going to dig into this some more on the podcast. I think it's so critical for new tools and services to encourage families to be able to save more and not just encourage them, but to enable them, you know, to give them the ability to do this easily. I know college is not inexpensive and it's expected to, you know, double over the next 10 years. And I have two children, very little, but we've already started saving for them. And people can't believe it when I tell them that we have 529s for our kids. But when you run the numbers, it's a no-brainer. You have to start saving as soon as possible. But before we get into the details of College Backer, tell us a little bit about who Abby Chow is and what inspired you to get into this space in the first place.
Yeah, happy to. So I am originally from the Chicago suburbs, but moved out to California to essentially pursue a dream of working in tech in some capacity. I was also always a bit of a personal finance geek growing up. So, you know, when I was in seventh grade, I read Rich Dad, Poor Dad, and it totally changed my life. And I was addicted since then. But what really came, or what the real inspiration for College Backer was essentially looking around and realizing that so many of my friends and family and my co-founder's friends and family were starting to have children. And those new parents were thinking about the cost of college, really intimidated by the rising cost, many of them still paying off their own student loans or having just paid off their own student loans. And so they were just acutely aware of how scary the cost of college could be. But when they went to go and try to find a solution and figure out the best way to save for college, they were just overwhelmed with different options and financial lingo and all of this complexity that they just ended up sort of kicking it down the road and saying, okay, well, I'll figure it out later when I have time to spend hours researching this stuff. Right now, I'm trying to take care of my new child, you know. And so we just wanted to be able to help in some way. You know, we wanted to be able to give them a gift that would kickstart the college fund and set them off on the right direction. But there wasn't really a good way to do that. So that's why we built College Backer.
And I know your background is in consulting with McKinsey and also Goldman Sachs. That's quite the professional pedigree. What did you learn from those experiences that has now helped you be an entrepreneur?
Yeah, I think both of those were, I think both of those experiences were really, really helpful to me because, you know, I know that some people can just jump into entrepreneurship maybe when they're 14 years old or something as a whiz kid. But for me, it was really helpful to get a little bit more of that professional training of, you know, how to think about different problems, how to think about different aspects of the business, whether it's the financial aspect, as, you know, of course, I learned at Goldman, as well as at McKinsey, I learned a lot about business operations and marketing and all of that good stuff. And I also had the opportunity when I was at McKinsey to go deep into the world of education and really study our K-12 and higher education systems in the US. And so it was really those experiences that helped me realize that you know, an opportunity like CollegeBacker really can make a huge, huge difference for our society as a whole. You know, every single parent out there individually probably is concerned about paying for college, but also, you know, us as a society, we need to be really thinking about how we're going to educate the next generation.
And what's unique about CollegeBacker is that it really involves your community, your friends, your family. It makes this not just something that parents have to individually, solely shoulder, that the unique proposition is, look, you can actually invite friends and family to contribute to this, which is that, if I, from what I understand, that's one of the unique aspects, right?
Absolutely. I think this is definitely one of the big things that separates CollegeBacker from the other options out there, is that we just wanted to make it really, really easy for family and friends to be able to give you the gift of college. So we give you a custom link that might be, you know, collegebacker.com/Abby, or rather your child's name. And then you can share that at holidays or birthday parties or any other event. And we've often seen birthday parties raise, you know, $400 or more just in that one shot. And I think the reason that that's important is because so many of, you know, new parents are worrying about so many other financial goals. Maybe you're worrying about how you're going to pay for just being a new parent. Maybe you're worrying about your retirement or your emergency fund or paying off your own student loans. But the fact of the matter is that there are actually a lot of people around you who want to give you the gift of college. You know, grandparents want to be able to jumpstart the college fund, or friends and family might not want to go and stand in the toy store and, you know, pick a random piece of plastic, and instead would much rather give you this really meaningful gift of college savings. And we just wanted to enable that.
Let's do a quick 101 for anyone listening who's maybe new to the 529 world. I get questions often on Ask Farnoosh, like, is it worth it? Because there are some risks if you believe that, say, your child may or may not go the traditional track and go to college. And frankly, I don't think that's a negative. I think that the way the world is shifting and the way that we are valuing a college education is changing. I don't think it's going to change overnight, but I do think that it's valid when a parent's like, well, I don't know if a 529 is really the best vehicle for me. So I'll let you take the mic and tell me, first, you know, what is a 529? I know, but some people may not. And why is it advantageous? And then what are some things to think about to figure out if this is actually the right vehicle for you as a saver?
Yeah, and actually most parents have no idea what a 529 is. So I'm really glad that we're starting here. The data shows that over 70% of parents have never heard of a 529, and less than 10% of parents are actually using one, even though, you know, you and I would probably agree that this is an amazing tool to save for college. So a quick 101 of 529s, you can essentially think of it as a Roth IRA, but for college. So it's an investment account where you put in post-tax money, and then that money grows completely tax-free, and withdrawals are tax-free as long as you are using it for higher education. So the main benefits of using a 529 are those investment gains and the tax benefits on top of it. In addition to that, 529s are actually surprisingly flexible. So it's true that it really should be for higher education, but the categories are pretty expansive. So of course it includes tuition. It also includes room and board. It also includes books, and it also includes computers and related equipment. And it can also be used for a variety of different higher education institutions. So that includes public and private schools, in-state and out-of-state, community college, some trade schools, undergraduate and graduate. So there are a lot of different forms of higher education that can be included. It's essentially anything that qualifies for federal financial student aid. That being said, of course, there are concerns around, you know, what if my kid doesn't go to college or any of those forms of higher education? Any money that you put into the 529, which is, you know, your original contribution or the principal, you can actually withdraw that money without any taxes or penalties at any time. However, if you want to withdraw the gains for something else, say you want to take that money and go buy a car, for example, then you would have to pay taxes on that and penalties. But there are some ways to avoid those taxes and penalties, even if your child decides not to go to college. So, for example, if your first child decides that they don't need that 529 money anymore, but you have a second child that is planning to go to some form of higher education, then you can transfer the funds to the second child by doing a beneficiary change. And you can change the beneficiary to anyone in your family, including yourself, if you wanted to go back to graduate school or something like that. Another important exception is that if your child earns a scholarship, you can also withdraw the amount of the scholarship without incurring any penalties. So if you have a brilliant kid that gets a full ride to school and you don't need any of that money anymore, you can still take that out and you won't be penalized for it.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah,
that's
they
good
are.
To know.
Yeah,
that's good
exactly.
to know. Yeah, because what if you have a smarty pants kid who, gets a full ride or a partial scholarship, and then you've got this, overly funded 529.
Which is a great problem
really
to have.
Good. That's a good tip. All right. So obviously this is important. I didn't realize that a majority of parents didn't know that, what 529s are, how they function. That's crazy. All right, Abby, tell us a little bit more about your background in terms of like going way back. So we know your professional background, but what was your childhood like? Did your parents save enough for your college?
Yeah, this is a great question. So I was really fortunate when it came to college because I did manage to get a significant scholarship. And then my parents did have a small 529 for me that helped with, room and board and things like that. So that's another pro tip. Even if your kid does get a scholarship, remember that there's a lot more to the cost of college than just tuition.
They were really ahead of their times. I feel like my parents, well, I don't know if my parents' generation really had 529s. I feel like this is kind of a new area of focus, right? Because obviously college is getting more expensive. Parents didn't really ever have to save, 20 years ahead of schedule to
yeah.
send their kids to school.
Absolutely. I mean, 529s are a little bit of a new phenomenon. So it's been about 20 years that 529s have been out there, but the cost of college has completely changed, over those past 20 years. So once upon a time, you would be able to pay for college just with, cash flow from the parents or doing a part-time job and working over the summer, things like that. But today, that's pretty unrealistic for most families. And as a result, we have a $1.4 trillion student loan crisis. So it's a very different world today. And so one way of thinking about it that I always like is going to college or paying for college used to be like buying a car, but now it's like buying a house. You have to plan in advance.
And there is this resistance to just affording it through student loans. That was the mentality when I was applying to college in high school. I would look at these price tags for school, come home and talk to my parents about it. And they're like, yeah, that's just not happening. Like if you get into this school, that's great. But if we have not saved enough for you to afford this in the clear. And I was like, well, don't worry, mom and dad. My teacher said that there's this thing called a student loan. And my Middle Eastern parents who don't really they didn't have any debt except for the mortgage, were like, that's not our protocol here. We don't just leverage opportunities by going into debt. And so that was our household. That wasn't every household. Obviously, now we have a huge student loan problem. But I think people are waking up to the fact that that is not, should not be kind of the first way of attack to attack a college cost.
Absolutely. I think that today, we're realizing the cost of student loans essentially. And now, when folks graduate from college with an average of over $30,000 in debt, we're realizing that that really puts a big damper on your options, right? So when I graduated from college, I had the opportunity to work at some amazing jobs. But then afterwards, I decided to become an entrepreneur and build my own company. And I think if I had those massive student loans hanging over me, I wouldn't be doing what I'm doing today. Similarly, when I look at my friends who graduated with me, who are very smart, very capable, very highly educated as well, they would like to be doing something more entrepreneurial or doing something on their own or following their passion, but they don't have that opportunity right now because they need to focus on having the solid paying job so that they can pay back those student loans.
For the longest time, I dreaded buying bras. It was like shopping for jeans. Impossible. You want a bra that's sexy? You want a bra that's comfortable? You can't have both. Well, now you can, thanks to Third Love. Third Love was started to take all the frustration, the ick, the ugh, out of bra shopping. That's why they make solutions for every bra problem or problem. Their bras make it easy to bring back perkiness you haven't seen since high school. Get smoothing, you know where, and have straps that actually stay put. Designed at their headquarters in San Francisco and made with premium materials, they put every style through hours of wear testing on real women, including themselves, before it's given the stamp of boob approval. Comfort and support are guaranteed. Plus, whether you're a AA cup or an H cup, their virtual fitting room will help you find your perfect fit fast. They even invented half cups. No more feeling stuck between two cup sizes that don't fit. It's time to get your problems solved. Visit thirdlove.com and get $15 off your order with the code PODCAST15. Did you know that I'm a podcast host and also a mind reader? Because I know that you want to grow your portfolio, to deal with the rising costs of inflation, to pay off your debt or your mortgage. You want to attack pretty much anything standing in the way of you and your financial freedom, right? Well, here's one solution: more knowledge. This podcast helps, I hope. And you can use Yahoo Finance, where you can get access to the news, data, and tools that you need to help reach your definition of financial freedom. For more than 25 years, Yahoo Finance has been the brand behind every great investor. They're the number one finance destination, and I know because I worked there for many years, producing a holistic look at the financial news cycle, including breaking news, original editorial perspectives, analyst ratings, customizable charts, so much more. For comprehensive financial news and analysis, visit the brand behind every great investor, yahoofinance.com. The number one financial destination, yahoofinance.com. That's yahoofinance.com. The weather's getting warmer as I record. It's a nice 73 degrees on the East Coast. So finally, time to say goodbye to jackets and sweaters and, fingers crossed, hello to shorts and tees. And I need to update my wardrobe for the long haul. And, you know, I don't want to spend a fortune. So luckily, I found Quince. I'm honest. I've got a lineup of timeless pieces from Quince that keep me looking effortlessly chic year after year. I'm talking premium European linen dresses, blouses and shorts from $30, washable silk tops, timeless 14 karat gold jewelry, and tons more. Best part, all Quince items are priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands. I have t-shirts from Quince, pajamas from Quince. My very chic and fashionable sister-in-law, Hannah, her whole closet is Quince. And people often stop us and ask, where did you get this? Don't tell me the price. And then when I do, they're shopping on Quince.com. Get warm weather ready with Quince. Go to Quince.com/SoMoney for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. That's Quince.com/SoMoney to get free shipping and 365-day returns. Quince.com/SoMoney. Whether you need to buy or sell, or you're just obsessed with looking at homes for sale, Redfin's got you covered. Redfin updates their listings every 2 minutes so you can see new homes first. And they give you personalized recommendations based on the homes you like so you can find the home that's just right for you, whether that's a cabin, a craftsman, or a castle. With the top-rated Redfin app, you can favorite homes, share listings with others, and schedule tours, even the same day, with a local Redfin agent who can help guide you through the whole home buying process. And if you're looking to sell, Redfin agents have the experience to get you the best price possible for your home. That's because they sell twice as many homes as other agents. With a listing fee as low as 1%, Redfin's fees are half of what others often charge, which means you'll have more money to put towards what matters most to you, like your next home. In fact, last year, Redfin saved home sellers $127 million. No matter where you are in your real estate journey, Redfin can help. Download the Redfin app to get started today.
It's an interesting time to be a female startup entrepreneur, founder in the Bay Area and Silicon Valley. Indulge us. Tell us a story, a behind the scenes of some sort of friction you came up against, or tension, or challenge, or, you know, anything that, you know, that you overcame ultimately, or that you feel was a really great lesson learned. Because I think those stories we can't get enough of these days.
Sure. So it's definitely a contentious topic. And I will say that for the most part, I feel like I've always been really fortunate in working with really supportive men and women, you know, in any of the roles that I've had, whether it was even being an investment banker at Goldman or a consultant at McKinsey and now being an entrepreneur in Silicon Valley. But of course, like, you always have a few bad actors, and, you know, I've had an experience where, you know, we were at, you know, an event talking to various investors at a happy hour. And then, you know, progressively one of these investors just continued saying increasingly inappropriate things to me as the evening wore on. And eventually I had to obviously remove myself from the situation. And in retrospect, you know, nothing terrible happened from it. Obviously, I had a really terrible taste in my mouth and that kind of ruined my evening. But I think the most surprising thing was that when I spoke to people and they would ask me a question like this, at first I felt almost, you know, embarrassed and ashamed of it, because I felt like somehow this was a reflection of a weakness of mine. And, you know, people would say, oh, like, you know, why didn't you push back, or why didn't you do X, Y, and Z? But now that I've had a little bit of distance from it, as I think back on it, I don't feel that there's any reason for me to feel embarrassed or ashamed or any of those negative feelings. I think that, you know, that guy ought to feel embarrassed and ashamed of himself. And I'm really impressed with the way that other women have spoken out about different things that have happened to them. And I love that these things are, you know, coming out into the open now and people are being held accountable.
Yes, absolutely. Well, you definitely took the higher road. And as I say, sometimes, you know, when I have friends who come up to me and like, that guy, there's always that guy. There's always that guy. You know, there's always a story about that guy who did that or whatever. And, you know, I just say, like, let him be the wind beneath your wings. Let that experience give you, first of all, you know, I feel like the fact that he like took issue, whatever, we don't have to go into details, but the fact that some men sometimes target women, is to your credit. Like, you're that great that they focused on you. You know, I'm reading like Salma Hayek's, op-ed in the New York Times about how Harvey Weinstein just tormented her for all those years. And she absolutely did not deserve it. But at the same time, you know, he targeted her because in some ways, you know, he knew she had potential, right? She totally did. And I think that somehow made her stand out and unfortunately become a target. Again, not to her deserving, but it's almost like, let that be a sign that like you have what it takes and you're worth it. And this person is not going to be, is not worth your time. But like almost flip it, right? Flip it and think about, if this person is paying attention to me, maybe that means that I actually have potential and I'm going to use that as fuel in my fire.
Yep. And I also think that, even though we're in an environment now where we're talking about this stuff, and I think it's really important that we talk about this stuff, it's also something that we can't let weigh us down. We can't let this weigh us down too much, right? You know, when I wake up in the morning, what I focus on is running my business and not all of this other stuff. And so I deal with it, you know, if and when it comes, but I've got bigger fish to fry and more important things to work on, like helping families save for college.
Yes. What's your so money moment, Abby? You know, it's a time in your life where you felt like you really achieved something financially awesome. The stars aligned, you worked hard for something, paid off.
Yeah. You know, I think that my so money moments have been around negotiating, actually. And this is something that I've constantly tried to work on. And it's something that certainly doesn't feel natural to me. I think as women, we find it really difficult to advocate for ourselves, even though we probably should. And one very specific example was that, you know, when I was a consultant, because I was an entry-level consultant, they had a benefit where, you know, they would consider sponsoring your graduate school if you were a more junior consultant, but that wasn't an opportunity that was afforded more senior consultants. And I was actually offered a promotion, but I was considering turning down the promotion because I thought, oh, well, I really want to keep this, I really want to keep this benefit of potentially supporting my graduate school. And so I was about to turn it down when I spoke to one of my mentors. And she just looked at me like I was crazy. And she was like, Abby, that rule is stupid. You should just tell them that you want to be able to go to graduate school and you want the promotion. And I was like, oh, okay. Like I didn't know that I could do that. So she kind of helped me navigate that process. And then, you know, I eventually got both, and all I had to do was ask, and ask in the right way, you know.
Yes. Break those rules.
Exactly. Exactly. They were all just made by other people. So,
yeah. And I want to, I mean, and all those people were men. And not to stereotype, but I think that, you know, women, young girls do great in school because, and better than, and boys statistically, I mean, more women are going to college, more women get A's in school. It's because we're really good at following the rules, right? School is like, we thrive at it. We raise our hand, we participate. It's totally, at least traditionally, it's very much like it plays to our strengths. But in the real world, it's good to break rules. It's good to like color outside the lines and speak when you're, when you feel something passionately and not maybe when you're called upon, you know, just to be, at the forefront of your own ideas. I think that's something, a good lesson for all of us, men and women, but I think particularly for women, since we're not really, socially conditioned to do that.
I couldn't agree with you more, especially, you know, hate to extra stereotype here, but especially as an Asian American woman, I definitely think that I always really valued, you know, contributing in the right ways and following the rules and doing things properly. And as, you know, an entrepreneur, it's really paid for me to learn to experiment a little bit more. And of course, like there are some rules that you absolutely need to follow in the financial services industry. We have to be really careful, right? But in terms of thinking big and being creative and designing things that are new, you can't restrict yourself that way.
And so needless to say, you got the promotion and the ability to go back to grad school, right?
Yes, that's right.
Awesome. Well, you know, so much is changing in terms of how people kind of look at college as what the value is, and the cost of college is increasing. But yet at the same time, I feel like there has to be, a shoe has to drop. The cost of college cannot continue to rise at the level that it has, especially since we have some institutions that are graduating students without the ability to get jobs or are not doing their part to make sure that students are graduating to be able to go out there and pay off those student loans. So what's your crystal ball telling you, since you are entrenched in this industry so much more than the rest of us, what's your crystal ball showing in terms of where various aspects of college are headed, the cost, the perception, how we're affording it?
Absolutely. So as you mentioned at the top of the podcast, the cost of college, according to current predictions, is set to double again in the next 10 years. But meanwhile, we also know that the value of a college education is enduring. The typical college grad earns about $1 million more in their lifetime than a non-graduate. And again, as a society, we need more smart, educated people who can do high-skilled, really interesting, creative, innovative work. So I definitely see this tension here that current trends are unsustainable, and we as a society need to find a way to address this. One cautionary thing that I would say is that for many parents, when you look at this landscape, it can be very overwhelming. And that feeling of being overwhelmed can sometimes cause you to just procrastinate or not take action, right? And I think that's exactly the wrong approach. So from my perspective, I do think that the value of higher education is enduring, and that regardless of what happens in the broader landscape, you're never going to regret having some money set aside for your child's education so that you can help your child continue to invest in themselves and gain new skills and new experiences that are going to allow them to pursue their dreams on an ongoing basis in their future. And then I also think that from a broader societal perspective, there is an appetite for these new forms of higher education as well, right? So even a few years ago in the prior administration, the federal government was doing a small experiment of expanding the categories of institutions that would qualify for federal financial student aid, so that they might include things like the coding boot camp or other, you know, non-traditional forms of higher education. And now, the government is also considering expanding the categories that that a 529 can be used for, potentially including K-12 education as well as higher education. So I think broadly there is recognition that the current system cannot sustain, and folks are trying to find the ways to correct that and make the higher education landscape and the higher education financing landscape reflect the new dynamic global society that we live in. But I think that the most important takeaway for a parent is that, hey, you know, if you believe that a lifetime of education is valuable and that your children will be able to benefit if they have the opportunity to continue learning throughout their lives, then it makes sense to get started, you know, saving for college in the best ways that you can.
Well, I didn't realize the 529 was expanding in terms of what it would cover. That's encouraging.
Absolutely. Yeah. So, you know, we're recording this in December. So it could be that by the time, you know, your listeners are hearing about this, that there has been major legislative change already. But essentially the change that's being proposed is expanding a 529 to allow spend on K-12 education. And specifically the categories there aren't finalized yet, but you could imagine it including, of course, private school and homeschool, but also other forms of additional education that any family might use. So maybe some additional online coursework or a summer school or other enrichment programs. All of that is a bit to be determined, but definitely could be an exciting opportunity for a lot of families.
That is music to my ears, because the price of private school in New York City is more expensive than what I paid for college.
All kinds of scary education costs these days, unfortunately.
Yes, yes, yes. Abby, thank you so much for stopping by. This has been a really helpful episode, especially as we kick off the new year. I know some parents are looking to kind of reframe their financial goals in 2018. No one ever said, you know, I wish I hadn't saved so much money. Ever. No one ever says that. It's always, well, I wish I had saved more. And so I think it's great to have tools like College Backer enable parents to save more and also enlist the help of friends and family. And yes, I do this. I do this on my own. You know, I just say, my mom's like, what do we get the kids for Christmas or birthdays? And I'm like, just send me a deposit for their 529. And a little bit goes a very long way, especially when you start early. Abby, thank you so much and Happy New Year to you.
Thank you.
Thanks so much to Abby for stopping by. Very exciting. College Backer would like to offer So Money listeners a $25 match. If you sign up, you can go to collegebacker.com/SoMoney for more info. Thanks for tuning in, everyone, and I hope your day is So Money. Hosting the So Money podcast for almost 10 years, I've been learning a lot about how to best serve you outside the show. I've begun to offer pop-up workshops and a So Money members club. And with each new line of business, a lot goes on behind every transaction. Stripe helps simplify and ease payments with Tap to Pay on iPhone, which helps me grow revenue and reach through accepting more in-person contactless payments when I'm out in real life promoting my programs. Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe give me the ability to scale quickly and stay flexible with quick setup and no additional hardware required. And it's not just ideal for me. From local pop-ups to global retailers, Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe help businesses of all sizes accept contactless payments right from an iPhone. Whether your customers want to use their card, Apple Pay, or other digital wallet, now you can accept contactless payments right from an iPhone. To learn how Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe can help grow your revenue and reach, visit stripe.com/tapiphone. For the longest time, I dreaded buying bras. It was like shopping for jeans. Impossible. You want a bra that's sexy? You want a bra that's comfortable? You can't have both. Well, now you can, thanks to Third Love. Third Love was started to take all the frustration, the ick, the ugh, out of bra shopping. That's why they make solutions for every bra problem or problem. Their bras make it easy to bring back perkiness you haven't seen since high school. Get smoothing, you know where, and have straps that actually stay put. Designed at their headquarters in San Francisco and made with premium materials, they put every style through hours of wear testing on real women, including themselves, before it's given the stamp of boob approval. Comfort and support are guaranteed. Plus, whether you're a double A cup or an H cup, their virtual fitting room will help you find your perfect fit fast. They even invented half cups. No more feeling stuck between two cup sizes that don't fit. It's time to get your problems solved. Visit thirdlove.com and get $15 off your order with the code PODCAST15.